Rise and Shine, everyone. This is Amy, and I'm speaking on the radio again to really start my radio show. I did a little promo just a second ago for our fundraisers that we are having on both of the stations that Amy's Kids Show plays on. We don't just play on WGDR, although WGDR, WGDH is Amy's Kids Show's home. This is where I come every morning to make Amy's Kids Show. And I do it live right here in the studio using this great soundboard and this wonderful microphone and this beautiful computer and all of this wonderful equipment, which I am so grateful for. So WGDR, WGDH, Central Vermont Community Radio is where I make my show. And they are having a spring fundraiser. And guess what? So is the other station that then rebroadcasts my show later on. And that channel is called WMRW. WMRW. I love all the W's in these radio station names. You don't get to play with W's otherwise, usually, unless you're in the radio biz. And when you're in the radio biz, you get to trip over them all day long. So WMRW out of Warren, Vermont, also airs Amy's Kids Show just a week later. They rebroadcast last week's show next week, if that makes any sense. So you can catch both of those shows and both of those airings, and both of those stations are having fundraisers because it's spring. That's why, right? It's a good time of year to get everybody, you know, all hands on deck. Let's help out on a team effort here. And that's why I came into the station today a little early, and I've been washing the table, and I'm going to do some sweeping around because there's all kinds of things we need to do to help each other out, right? To make all the great things we love happen. And I'm trying to figure out how that all connects to our theme today. And I bet we'll think of something by the end of the show. Maybe it has something to do with hard work. because today, I have a special subject. A subject that I did not learn very much about growing up. Now, I know for some kids, this is basic information. And for many adults, it's basic information, but somehow I missed it growing up. So I am curious about ancient Greece. Because we were learning about the stars, right? And we were traveling through space with Lulu, and we were looking at constellations of stars in the skies, and some of them come from these stories from ancient Greece and elsewhere. And I realized I'd never heard these stories, and I went to visit a friend, and guess what she put right in my hands, right as I was curious about this very subject? A wonderful book that I'm going to read from today about ancient Greece. Let's go traveling.
More music from Greece. This time a song of a little shepherd boy who falls in love with a beautiful lady. Feel it's a story.
Fire has something to do with our stories today, especially the first one I'm going to read right now, and I'm going to jump right in. These stories are from a book called Ancient Greece by Charles Kovacs. Now, I'm going to be throwing around a lot of names and places and events that happened in ancient Greece, and a lot of these words are new for me. So I hope I'm pronouncing them correctly. Please correct me if I'm not. But for some of you out there, they might be new words too. So I want you just to relax and just let these words come through your brain. If they're new, don't get worried. Don't get hung up on them, because we're going to learn about some of these folks and they're going to start to sound familiar to you, okay? So this book is called Ancient Greece, and it contains legendary stories of mythical heroes and historic figures from the dawn of Western civilization. Through the fearless deeds of Heracles, see, there I go. Through the fearless deeds of Heracles, Theseus and Odysseus, I was practicing before this, guys, I must have gotten nervous. Odysseus, to the golden age of Athens and the conquests of Alexander the Great. The narrative vividly portrays the journey from the mysteries of antiquity to the birth of modern medicine, science, and philosophy. So this is where a lot of our thinking comes from here, ancient Greece. Let's learn about it. Number one, chapter one. The Red Flower of the Gods. The Greeks lived in a country called Greece. which is part of the continent of Europe. Greece is not a large country. It is a peninsula, which means it is surrounded on three sides by the sea. Around its coasts lie many islands, both large and small. The winter is short and wet, and snow is rare, while the summer is long, dry, and often very hot. While the stories about ancient India, Persia, Babylon, and Egypt happened a very long time ago, the stories in this book are only about 3,000 years old. King Arthur lived about 1,000 years ago. Christ lived on earth 1,000 years before that. And if we go back another 1,000 years, we come to the time of ancient Greece. The people of Greece loved stories about gods and heroes. They did not have books, but there were men who traveled from village to village telling the people such stories. In the evening, when the sun sank into the glittering blue sea, the people stopped work. The men came back from the fields. The fishermen came from the shore. The women came from their little houses, and the children stopped playing, and they all gathered in the market square and sat down around the storyteller. He did not tell his stories as I tell them to you now. He had a harp, and he told his tales, which were in verse, as if he was singing a song. And one of these stories or songs went like this. High are the mountains you see from your village, but far in the north of Greece, there towers a mountain whose snow-covered peak reaches into the clouds. It is called Mount Olympus. And the heights of Mount Olympus are the home of the gods. There, the Olympians live. They are the immortals who never die, who never grow old. And their ruler is mighty Zeus. His long hair falls to his broad shoulders. A full beard frames his face. In his hands, he holds thunderbolts, and at his feet is perched the eagle, his messenger. Great was Zeus, the king of the gods, but he and the other gods did not always rule the world. A race of wild giants called Titans had been masters of the world until Zeus and his companions defeated them in a terrible battle. And the defeated Titans were banished to caves deep in the earth to be imprisoned forever. But two of the wisest Titans, Prometheus and his brother, Epimetheus, had helped Zeus in the battle. They knew that the wild, savage ways of the giants had to come to an end, and they were not imprisoned with their fellow Titans. At that time, life on Earth was difficult. There were many wild animals around, but people had no weapons to fight them with and lived in fear and dread. However, these people were also wild and lawless, and Zeus often thought the best thing to do would be to destroy them all. But Prometheus took a liking to these uncivilized people, and he often wondered how he could help them to master the animals they were so afraid of. But Zeus, the king of the gods, had no wish to see the human race become more powerful. One day, however, Prometheus decided he would help the human race whether Zeus liked it or not. And the Titan thought that the red flower of the gods was what would help man the most. What was the red flower? It was fire. Today, we take fire for granted. We use it to cook our food, to light our houses at night, and to keep us warm. But in those days, people ate their food raw and huddled together in the cold and dark for warmth and protection from the wild beasts. Prometheus also knew that animals are afraid of fire. If, for instance, you were in the wilds at night and you made a blazing fire, no wild animals would come near you. Now, the ancient Greeks believed the sun was a fire chariot, a fiery chariot that the sun god Helios drove across the sky each day. Prometheus climbed a high mountain, and as Helios's chariot passed by, he held out a long, dry stalk of the fennel plant, and it soon began to smolder. Carrying the smoldering stem, Prometheus hurried down to bring this gift to the human race. People looked on with awe and wonder when, from tiny sparks, he kindled a roaring fire. Then Prometheus told them that the red flower would not only keep the wild beasts away, but would also keep them warm and cook their food. The Titan also explained that they could use fire to make metal from the earth into weapons that are sharper and more deadly than any animal's claws. Once the human race received the gift of fire, mankind began to master the forces of nature and make weapons and tools. However, it was not long before Zeus found out that Prometheus had disobeyed him by bringing the red flower to mankind. The king of the gods was very angry. "He has stolen the fire from us, but he shall not go unpunished," Zeus cried. Wow, well, that's the end of the first chapter of this book by Charles Kovacs. Now, were some of these names and places new to you? Or had you heard of them before? Well, there are actually a lot of students out there who are studying this type of stuff. So, yeah, for those of you out there who are not learning new things yet, congratulations. But we're about to get into more here. Chapter 2, Pandora's Box, is coming up in a moment. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Honey.
Lion.
No, lion, just thunder. Don't worry.
Lion roaring.
Roaring? Nah, I think he's just yawning like this. Let's sing him to sleep, you wanna?
Uh-huh.
Okay, snuggle in then.
A wee mullet, 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 a wee mullet. box about 3 feet high. A great big box looming in the corner, hulking in the corner, and don't know why. Ooh, who does it belong to? Ooh, why is it there? Ooh, it wasn't there this morning. Ooh, it's giving me a great big scare. There it sits like a refrigerator, wrapped all around with a great big bow. There it sits like an alligator. Something's in the box and I'm afraid to know. Ooh, who does it belong to? Ooh, why is it there? Ooh, it wasn't there this morning. Ooh, it's giving me a great big scare. Going more and more. Ooh, who does it belong to? Ooh, why is it there? Ooh, it wasn't there this morning. Ooh, it's giving me a great big scare. What's that box sitting in the corner? What's that box, big as it can be? What's that box? A birthday present, a birthday present, and it's all for me. Ooh, I know who it belongs to. Ooh, and it looks so fine. Ooh, it's waiting in the corner. Ooh, and it's mine, all mine. Ooh, I know who it belongs to. Ooh, and it looks so fine. Ooh, it's waiting in the corner.
Folks, so some of you are out there wondering, what's the box song all about, right? So I just played two songs in a row. I played The Lion Sleeps Tonight by The Bops, our local producers here in Vermont. The Bops did The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and that makes sense, right? Because we just read a story about Prometheus and how Prometheus dared to defy Zeus and brought humans fire so that we could be safe from the wild beasts like the lions and cook our food and be warm and all of that. And so that makes sense, right? The lion song. But what about the big box song? Seeing a box sitting there and really wanting to open it, but not supposed to. Well, some of you out there who may have heard some of these myths before, you might know what I'm on to here, because it turns out that Prometheus, who stole the fire for the humans, had a brother, right? Do you remember that part? And his brother is going to marry someone pretty famous you may have heard of named Pandora. And whenever you hear the name Pandora, you may think of Pandora's box, because that is what she's probably mostly famous for. So Prometheus's sister-in-law is named Pandora, and hence the box story that we're going to read right now. I'm going to read second chapter from Ancient Greece by Charles Kovacs. And this is typical 5th to 6th grade lessons, I believe, for children who go to Waldorf schools. So if anybody out there goes to Waldorf schools, maybe you've heard this very version. I just love the way that Charles Kovacs tells these stories. He puts them in a great context for everyone. So here we go. Chapter 2, Pandora's Box. Zeus called his two servants Kratos and Bia, which means strength and force, and said, "Take the disobedient Titan far away to the east." He's talking about Prometheus, because he stole the fire, so he's pretty mad at him. "Take Prometheus away to the east. Take him to the towering mountains called Caucasus, and chain him to a rock so that he cannot move. He shall not die, but he shall remain bound to the rock forever. I, Zeus, king of the gods, swear it." Kratos and Bia dragged the struggling Prometheus to the Caucasus mountains and chained him to a steep cliff above a deep chasm. Prometheus was left alone, hanging in chains from the rock as punishment for bringing fire to humanity. In the summer, the sun scorched his skin and rain fell on him, and in the winter he shivered and the cold winds and snow covered his limbs. But after many, many years, a great hero came to the rock where he was chained and set him free. This hero's name was Heracles, and his many great deeds are told later. Maybe we'll have to read those chapters. I'm curious about him. In the meantime, the ancient Greeks became very powerful. They learnt to watch the movement of the stars, to make chariots and ships and metal weapons for tools. In the Greek stories, this time is called the Golden Age, for people were never sick in the Golden Age. They lived to a very old age and died peacefully. They had no worries and no sorrows, no aches and no pains. Prometheus had a brother named Epimetheus. Now, Prometheus had often warned his brother about one thing. He said, "If Zeus sends you a gift, do not take it. You must send it back." Not long after Prometheus was taken to the Caucasus, Epimetheus received a visit from the god Hermes. Hermes was both the messenger of the gods and the protector of merchants and sailors. He had wings in his cap and heels and could fly faster than lightning. But Hermes did not come alone. He brought with him a beautiful young woman and carried a lovely little box. The messenger god said to Epimetheus, "This is Pandora, which means one who has all the gifts. For she is not only beautiful, but also gentle and clever. Zeus has sent her to you, so you will not be lonely now that Prometheus has gone. Zeus also sends you this box, but you can only enjoy looking at it by looking at it from the outside. It must never be opened." Pandora was so beautiful that Epimetheus decided to forget his brother's warning. He accepted both gifts, the girl and the box. For a time, all went well, and it seemed that Prometheus's warning had been unnecessary. But one day, when Pandora was at home alone, she looked at the lovely box that Hermes had left and wondered what might be inside it. In the end, her curiosity got the better of her, and she lifted the lid. As soon as the lid was open, it was as if she had taken the cover off of a beehive. Hundreds and hundreds of little winged creatures came out. They flew through the house and out of the windows and spread in all directions. But they were not bees or butterflies or birds. They were nothing other than hundreds of illnesses and worries. And from that moment, the golden age came to an end, for illness, worry, and trouble had come to humankind. When Pandora saw all the strange creatures fly out, she quickly shut the box. But it was too late, for only one little winged creature remained inside. And this was the only good being in the box. And it pleaded and pleaded to be let out. In the end, what do you think Pandora did? Did she let the last winged creature out? Pandora opened the lid again, and out came something that was so like a great shining white butterfly. And that was hope. And so when we are sick or have worries, it is hope that can help us to overcome our difficulties. The end of chapter 2. Wow, isn't that true? Isn't that so true? I love that she opened the box back up again, don't you? She could have said, oh no, last time I opened this box, all these terrible things happened. No, I'm never going to open it again. I'm going to stick to my rule. I'm going to make a rule and I'm going to stick to it and I'm never going to change it because I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want to hurt anybody and I feel so bad for what I did, right? But that little winged creature, that little voice of hope kept talking to her through the box. Please, please, please have faith, have faith. Open this one more time. Because the world needs me, right? The world needs hope. If it's going to have all these worries and troubles, what does it need to get us through? See, it's all there. It's all there for us, guys. Just have hope. So we've got a couple of shout-outs to Hope here and to boxes and other things. Thanks for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. I just read the first two chapters of Ancient Greece by Charles Kovacs. Thanks for joining me.
Hope. a better way. Find a way, yeah. Find a better way. One fine day. Find a better way. Find a way, yeah. Find a better way.
Butterflies. First people said, if you make a wish and whisper to a butterfly, carries your wish right on its wings up to Great Spirit it flies. Butterflies, butterflies, carry my wishes through the skies. Goodbye, butterflies.
So this one's Ursa Major, and the smaller one over there, that's Ursa Minor.
Wow!
Wow, those are really beautiful. Hey there, Sam the Bat is showing me some constellations using his telescope. Constellations are groups of stars that look like shapes or pictures in the night sky. Here's a constellation you might have heard of before. It's called the Big Dipper, and it gets its name because when you draw lines between each of its stars, it looks like a big soup ladle.
Kind of like playing connect the dots.
Yes, exactly. The stars and constellations are actually really far apart from each other. But from here on Earth, they look much closer together. So when people look up, they make these pictures and share them with each other. And sometimes they even tell stories about the things they see. They might see a bear, or a spoon, or a goatfish thing.
I want to get a good look at this season's constellations before we move away from them.
Ooh, that's right. Depending on what season it is, spring, summer, autumn, or winter, people on different parts of the Earth get to see different stars and constellations. Which constellations are you looking for, Sam?
Pegasus. That's the flying horse constellation.
That's a great one. I think I see it right up there. We can also look for Cassiopeia, or the Big W, or even the Dragon's Head. And you at home can see those constellations too, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you might get to see Aquarius, which looks like a man pouring water.
Hey, Jesse, do you know why you can't see all the constellations all the time?
Ooh, that is a great question, Sam. The Earth moves around our sun in a big loop throughout the year. As that happens, we get the chance to look at different parts of space. It's like when you're driving around the block in a car or a bus. As you look out the window, you get to see different buildings that seem to move past you. Because you're moving, you get a different view of the space around you, even though the buildings out there are actually staying still. Earth is like our bus, and all of the stars and constellations stay in the same place. But we move and see different ones throughout the year.
Yeah, and what part of space you can see changes depending on what time of year it is. As the Earth moves around the sun, we have a different view of space so we can see different stars and constellations. Like, I've been looking at the constellation Orion. Orion is easy to see from November to February here in the Northern Hemisphere because we're facing it at nighttime. But by June, our planet has moved to a place where we're facing Orion during the daytime, and the sun is too bright for us to see it then. So at night, Orion is completely out of view and we see other stars.
Constellations are so fascinating. And these star pictures aren't just for fun. Some stars and the constellations that help us recognize them are really important for helping people find their way.
That's so cool. But how can a star help someone find their way?
Let me show you. This is Polaris, the brightest star in the constellation Ursa Minor. Some people call Ursa Minor the Little Bear or the Little Dipper.
Oh, I know about Polaris. It has another name too. Some people call it the North Star.
That's right. When we look up into the sky, the North Star is always north of us. That means that if you can find the North Star, you know how to go north.
But what if you don't need to go north? What if you need to go a different direction?
That's a good question. Let's say there's a ship full of people who need to get to an island that they know is south of where they are. If they look up and find the North Star, they just need to sail in the opposite direction of that star. Even if they have a map to tell them where to go, they can always check Polaris to make sure they're on track. And as people got better at navigating and finding their way with the stars, they designed special tools that helped them use Polaris to guide them, even across the ocean.
It's amazing that a star can be so helpful, even though it's super far away. Ooh, hey Jesse, do you want to look and see if we can find a bat-shaped constellation?
We can certainly try. Before we go, do you want to answer a question from one of our viewers?
Sure, that sounds fun.
Okay. Today's question comes from Gemma, age 8. Gemma asks, why do I get side aches when I run? Well, side aches or side stitches are common for many people when they run, swim, and exercise. Side stitches can hurt, like you've pulled a muscle in your side. Doctors don't actually know for certain what causes them yet, but scientists have some ideas. There are a few body parts near where people feel side stitches that could be causing the pain. First, it could be your diaphragm. The diaphragm is a special muscle under your lungs that helps with breathing. When you run, you have to breathe more heavily, and your diaphragm has to work harder. Side aches could be caused by your diaphragm getting sore from working so hard. Another idea is that the pain could come from the ligaments near your diaphragm. Ligaments are special body parts inside that help hold your body parts together. If the ligaments get jolted around and aren't used to working hard to hold things together while you run, they could get sore too. While we don't yet know exactly what causes side stitches, doctors do know some ways to help avoid them.
You could wait a little while after you eat before you go run and play, instead of getting up right after. And make sure to stretch your sides and your middle before doing a lot of running around.
And keep growing stronger. As you practice things like running more, your muscles and ligaments can grow stronger and won't get tired and sore as easily. Thank you for your awesome question, Gemma, and good luck with your running.
Meanwhile, I think we'll exercise our eyeballs looking at space.
Looking at how the night sky changes through the seasons and over big chunks of time can be really fun. The more I learn about constellations and navigating by stars, the more I want to know. What constellations have you seen in the night sky? Have they seemed to move with seasons? What do you think it would be like to find your way using the stars?
Because I taught Alexander the Great, I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm so great, 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 great.
If you're a polytheist, you should be thanking Zeus for all the Greek achievements that they've passed down to you. Cause you got democracy from the folks in Athens. Our alphabet is from the Phoenicians. Minoans and Mycenaeans worked at the sailing trade. Round in Acropolis, they built a city-state. Wasn't much farming soil, barely enough in the peninsulas of Attica and Peloponnesus.
So in Athens, they've given their citizens voting rights.
City-states, city-states, a battle between two city-states, city-states, a battle that ends the golden age, a battle where Pericles was slain by a plague. Like a tragedy, tragedy. It's like the Iliad and Odyssey, Odyssey by Homer. Go! It's like the Iliad and Odyssey by Homer. Go! It's like the Iliad and Odyssey by Homer. Go! It's like the Iliad and Odyssey. That's right, I taught Alexander the Great. I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great. I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great. I'm the great Aristotle. Alexander the Great. So great.
I learned philosophy from Socrates. Socrates, I'm Plato. I learned philosophy from Socrates. I'm Plato. I learned philosophy from Socrates. Hey, Plato?
Groovy Greeks. And now it's time to meet those ever so clever chaps, the Brainy Greeks.
Good evening. I'm Aristotle, ancient Greek philosopher.
And I'm Archimedes, inventor, physicist, mathematician, engineer.
And big head.
You know the caveman gave us wool. Roman soldiers built the road. Egypt's pyramids were buildings at their peak.
But when we talk of great invention, it's important that we mention a special race who really were unique.
Plato and Pythagoras, both of them did stagger us. Socrates, he showed such great technique.
Was there ever, ever, ever
such a bunch of chaps so clever?
If you want to know the answer,
ask a Greek.
I'm a Greek.
I'm a Greek. We are also magnifique. We invented sundials, catapults and bricks.
Chic and sleek,
so to speak. Our success was not a freak,
but working hard was how we got our kicks. We created the first siren
and the first soldering iron.
The Olympics.
Well, that was quite a busy week. So the next time that you go, go to the toy shop for a yo-yo. Let them know, no, it was thought of by a Greek. We are Greek, we are Greek. Nowadays, you'd call us geek. But in ancient times, people thought of us as tough.
Our physique was not weak,
'cause when people gave us cheek, we invented boxing and other violent stuff.
Fiery flamethrowers for battles, pinhole cameras, baby rattles.
Is there nothing they can't do?
I hear you shriek. So next time you take a shower,
or you see a lighthouse tower,
just remember they were thought of by a Greek.
Stage acoustics, ancient harps,
music sounds of flats and sharps,
central heating at your doorsteps,
spin syringes, lamps and forceps,
fire extinguishers, thermometers,
coin dispensers and odometers,
pontoon bridges,
pistons,
pulleys,
parchment,
prisms,
puppets,
dollies,
shock absorbers,
charts and maps.
We were no such brainy chaps.
Anchors,
chewing gum,
the list does never cease.
Spinning tops,
the dice,
the crane.
Do we have to ask again?
Did they come from Spain?
No,
they came from Greece.
Well, folks, we have been traveling to ancient Greece today, and that has been so exciting, and I love the way that this author, Charles Kovacs, describes how long ago it was, right, that we were talking about. If King Arthur lived about 1,000 years ago, and Jesus Christ lived on earth 1,000 years before that, then if we go back another 1,000 years, we come to this time of ancient Greece that we are talking about here today, that we were reading those stories about. It was very exciting and very interesting to me how our beliefs have changed over so many thousands of years. You know, what we believe in and how we think the sun goes across the sky. Is it a chariot pulling, you know, is there a god pulling a chariot, pulling the sun across and then letting the horses rest during the night? Well, that's a beautiful story. That is. And a lot of wisdom can come from that story, which is why we don't want to lose those stories, right? But our beliefs probably have changed for most people, right? And they're going to keep changing. And that's called learning. And that's what problems do for us. You know, like things like fire, which is fantastic that humans can use fire, that we've learned to tame it, right? So that we can make metal objects out of it, and we can warm ourselves with it, and we can cook our food and see at night and keep the wild animals away so we're safe when we sleep. I mean, all of this is so wonderful, right? But then we also needed to invent fire engines and fire hoses and things and extinguishers. And so that's why I did a little shout out there to the fire trucks and firefighters out there who are so brave. And so I think that's our theme today, guys. What unites us and the constellations and everything that's going on all the time with ancient Greece, I think, is courage. Courage and action, right? The action to put behind your beliefs and your courage. Well, I just want to do one little shout out to folks who might want to dress up like a lion this weekend or some other animal or species. If you're listening to this live, or even if you're listening to this in a week at WMRW, All Species Day is being celebrated on April 30th this year. That's Sunday, April 30th, from 12 to 4. come dressed as your favorite species and join in celebrating our interdependence with all life. And it starts at noon in Hubbard Park, Montpelier, calling all species, all right? So remember that if you're out there and you want to go have some fun. It's a great way to welcome spring on April 30th this year, not the first weekend in May like usual. So mark your calendar, April 30th, if you can make it. All right, y'all are the greatest. Take care. I'll be back next week, maybe with more ancient Greece. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. What should we do next? I'm liking this constellation theme, though. I'm curious. I want to learn more. What about you? Keep being awesome. You can't help it, no matter what. You're the greatest.
Because I taught Alexander the Great, I'm the Great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm the Great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm the Great Aristotle. Alexander the Great, I'm so great, great.